You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Atlanta Braves spring training rolling along in the shadow of Disney World down there in Florida. Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Braves reporter Mark Bowman. And Mark, the gang's all back together. We'll get into some different stuff. Dansby Swanson healthy again. We'll look at the pitching staff, who's looking good, who isn't. But let's start with the fact that Ender Inciarte is back. Swanson's back healthy. Inciarte obviously was with the World Baseball Classic, but you look at this team as a whole, and the Braves actually get to send out what will be their team onto the field for a spring training game. It's been a long time since they've been able to do that.
Yeah, first time since March 3rd. You know, everyone, Inciarte and Freeman went to the WBC after playing on the March 4th, and that was the same day Swanson tweaked his side, was out for a couple weeks, and then a week later, Adonis Garcia had a sore hammy for a little over a week. So, yeah, you know, it may not seem like a lot of time to put a whole lineup together, but you walk around that clubhouse, you know, and they're like, hey, look, how many bats do you need? You know, we hear it time and time again, the spring training's for pitchers. You know, the length of spring training is for pitchers. So, I think it's nice for them to put their lineup together, get a feel for what it looks like. That's the one thing about this camp that stands out is, you know, while Sean Rodriguez, they're going to feel that loss throughout the year, you know, with his versatility. I think, you know, if you go back to, you know, February 9th or 10th was the day before we learned that Rodriguez would be out for the rest of the year. Obviously, the lineup looks a little bit different, but since they made that trade for Brandon Phillips, we knew exactly what the lineup was going to look like. We knew exactly what the rotation was going to look like. That hasn't changed. The bench, you know, while it still certainly looks like a weak spot, the components of that bench haven't changed. And the only change in the bullpen is Eric O'Flaherty basically slides into where you might have placed either Blaine Boyer or Chaz Rowe for now. You know, it's not to say Boyer or Rowe may not get in there if they don't carry three lefties by choosing not to put Paco Rodriguez on the roster. But for the most part, this team, as long as they stay healthy for the next few days, they're going to head north, basically looking exactly as you would have projected on February 14th or the first day of spring training.
Ozzie Albies is down in the minor league camp. He was up, obviously, for a little bit once he was fully healthy and everything. But he's tweaked the knee now, so a knee bruise, and he goes back down to minor league camp. But while healthy and while with the big league club, what did Ozzie show?
You know what? It's amazing to think he's 20 years old. He, you know, the one thing that stands out, he talked to scouts. I mean, there's no getting around it. He's a small guy, and then there's always going to be concerns about his durability. But when he's out there on the field performing, it's a lot of fun to watch. It was wise for them to move him from shortstop to second base. You know, he's very capable at that position. His arm plays better there. He's a guy who's that place. I don't know exactly where he's going to fit in the lineup, especially if he gets up to Atlanta and you got Inciarte in the one spot and Swanson in the two spot. And, you know, what does Albies become? But he's a guy that's certainly going to provide some, if you got him in that sixth, seventh spot down there towards the bottom of the order, he's a guy that can create some havoc down there with his legs. I guess the one thing that stands out is here he is. He's 20 years old. He's already got two big league camps under his belt. This year's camp was certainly different than last year's, where he was able to, you know, truly play on a frequent basis. This year he had to prove that he is, you know, distanced himself from that elbow fracture, and he did. And I think that's what stood out. Fun part about it, I said, hey, you know, you weren't concerned when you first started to let it, you know, start swinging, and, you know, little guy like this and he's confident, he just said, no, I just let it eat. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to be around him, and I don't think it'll be long before we see him in Atlanta.
Absolutely. You mentioned the roster being what we expected it heading into the season. One thing that was a bit of a question mark heading into the spring was who would be that number five starter with all the young arms and less availability for positions because of R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon being around and Jaime Garcia as well. Mike Foltynewicz is that guy, and it seems like when you look at how the spring played out, this ended up being kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, and you know what? Hey, look, if I was in the Braves position, I would have manufactured or created the competition to, you know, you don't want to just give somebody a spot. But come on, I mean, how could you have given it to anybody other than Fulton Nevich? I mean, you, based on what he did last year, sometimes you got to create competition just to, you know, make sure guys know nothing is guaranteed. But Fulton Nevich has certainly provided an indication he is able to build on what he did last year, where it was just those occasions where you saw the potential. You know, everyone could see that. You even saw that the year before. It was just from a mental perspective, what would he be able to handle adversity? And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, try to say this kind of adversity, that the situation that you experience in spring training is equivalent to what you would during the regular season. But for now, hey, look, well, when there are guys on base, he's kept himself more composed. He hasn't allowed the previous pitch. Occasionally you'll still see him flip his glove or shake his head at an umpire. He's going to have to clean that up a little bit, that kind of stuff. That'll come with a little bit more maturity. But at the same time, he's not allowing that previous pitch to affect that next pitch or the next at bat, allowing things to snowball. And I think that's the biggest stride that I've seen him make. And I think, like I said, I realize that the situation's going to be a little bit more tense. There will be more pressure once the regular season begins. But he has provided some indication that he is capable of making that next step. And, you know, from a stuff perspective, there's no doubt that he is the one guy in that rotation that has legitimate frontline stuff.
Mentioned R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon, and we always say the numbers in spring training don't necessarily matter. Of course, they do the later you get into spring, I think. And those guys have had up and down springs, some of the times really struggling, but they're also veterans who have been through it all. So maybe you even more so throw out the numbers. That said, is there any concern about Dickey and Colon heading into the year when obviously you want these guys to have great at least first half so you can flip them, if nothing else, later in the season?
Exactly. You know, that's the one thing. There's nothing in this rotation that said, you know, you obviously look at Jaime Garcia, you look at his health history, you think if he gets off to a good start, you know, they'd be wise to flip him. You know, with Dickey and Colon, you want them to pitch effectively not only for, you know, the immediate success of the team, but also to maybe be in a position to use them as currency when the trade deadline comes. So that is one thing that you do want to see them pitch a better. I'm not a guy that's going to concern myself with spring training results, especially, you know, with Colon. You know, he's just toying with everything, you know, under the sun all the time. The one thing with Dickey is, you know, it's the one start against the Marlins, he did throw more fastballs than he usually does just because he didn't want to, you know, show the knuckleball to a couple guys. There was another star where he said he toyed with the curveball. But at the same time, look, everybody knows what Dickey's going to throw. You just hope that pitch is dancing, you know, once the regular season begins. He has a feel for that knuckleball. One thing that I'd say, one positive with Dickey, it does look like Kurt Suzuki has found some comfort catching him. Look, I understand why, you know, fans are going to get, you know, kind of concerned about, you know, ERAs. But at the same time, let's not forget, these guys weren't acquired to become Cy Young Award winners. They're you know, the Braves are looking for them to eat innings and be middle rotation type guys. And, you know, I think they're both certainly capable of doing that as long as they work to get 200 innings or somewhere close to that this year. That they've basically done their job. And, you know, you go back to where we were talking about the trade, you say, okay, well, how are they going to get 200 innings if they are traded? You know, the fact is you just want them to be on that kind of pace. You want them to be eating innings so that it does not have an adverse effect on your bullpen. And it still looks like the Braves are going to go with an 8-man pen. I think a big reason for that is, you know, there are some guys that totally out of options, guys that they don't want to get to a point to where some of these guys get taxed to where they would be subjecting themselves to losing them via, you know, DFA or waiver wire claim, you know, just because, you know, they had to pitch them 3 days in a row. They don't have that luxury that they had in the past to basically have a subway system back and forth between AAA and the big leagues.
With the 8-man bullpen, Mark, obviously that limits your options as far as the bench for this team heading into the season. That said, you have an article about the fact that they are keeping their eyes open to other teams' camps and veteran players who could become available, names that people are familiar with. Daniel Nava, Clint Robinson. How likely is it that the Braves could try to snatch up one of those guys once they're released or DFA'd by their current club?
You know, I think that it's 50-50 right now. I think that there's certainly a desire to go there. You know, those two guys in particular, you look at Nava, he's a guy that could fit some needs. You look at a guy like Robinson, he's a guy that would be limited from a defensive perspective. You know, and obviously could you stick him at a corner outfield position? Sure. At the same time, what do you want to – do you want to carry that kind of guy, or do you think that you're going to get maybe the same kind of benefit from Bonifacio? Now, here's the big difference. Let me take a step back. With Robinson, you at least have some pop off that bench that you don't have, because you know we talk about it being a four-man bench, but it's essentially a three-man bench when one of those guys is the backup catcher, and those three men being Jace Peterson, Chase Turneau, Emilio Bonifacio. Obviously, none of those guys are going to strike fear in pitchers. You can look up and down the lineup and say, hey, look, well, how many times are they going to have to pinch hit? Well, I'm going to tell you, at least once a night in the National League. Maybe not every situation that pinch hits. There may be you might get fortunate where there's a situation where you do just need to get a guy on base, or maybe just move somebody over, which, you know, you could obviously do with a sack bunt. But at the same time, there are going to be instances where you're trailing, where it'd be nice to put a guy up there that they could leave the yard. And I think that would be the attraction to getting a guy like Robinson. But hey, look, at this time of year, a lot of times you're essentially stuck with the guys that other teams don't want. You hope at the end of the day that maybe your depth in the bullpen, that your surplus matches up with another team, to where you're saying, hey, look, I don't really want to get rid of this arm, but at the same time, I don't have any room for Chaz Rowe. Let's throw him out there because he's out of options. And now all of a sudden you are able to maybe take advantage of another team that just doesn't have room for a bat like Robinson's.
And we will keep an eye on all of that here in the final week and a half, basically, of spring training leading up to opening day. And, of course, the first opening day in the new ballpark in Atlanta. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.